Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Enter to win a free cruise for two on board the 90s cruise. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the first ever sailing.
5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s activities.
There'll be over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, and more.
The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com/iHeart to enter to win a free cruise for two.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
You guys, I cannot believe... Hi, everybody, by the way. I cannot believe that you watched this episode last week and were able to sit on it and not talk about it last week.
It took like, all my strength.
Yeah.
Literally.
I did the same, though.
You did the same thing. I can't believe you just didn't, like, spill all the beans. I watched it last night, and I had, like, six OMG moments. Like, major, like, OMG. I cannot believe what I'm seeing with my eyeballs.
Literally.
It was so good.
It's so good. This is the one. So, okay, Jen. So there's like some pivotal things in your 10-year run on 90210 that when people come up and go, oh my God, Kelly's been through it. This is one of them. This is like in the top three.
This is like the second one. First was the pills, the diet pills there. And now we're getting burned, people.
There you are.
Well, I don't even know if she survives. I'm going to go out on a limb and say she does because... I'm still here.
Funny you say that because
if you hadn't, would I have moved up on the call sheet?
Oh, God. On
it took
all my
strength. I could
never have done it without you.
Took all my strength not to watch the next episode to see if you survived.
Me too.
Even though I was like,
dude,
what am I doing?
Lola was like, we have to watch. I need closure. I cannot go to bed with this feeling of Kelly being trapped in this bathroom praying to God that she survives. And I said, absolutely not. That is breaking the rules of the OMG. pact that we all have. We can't watch.
Our bylaws.
We can't go ahead.
Our bylaws.
Imagine if you binge watch and just like 48. No, it wouldn't even be 48 hours. Like how long would it take you if you binge watched? Usually it's like, you know, on like Netflix, it's like 10 episodes, 10, no, five more seasons.
Oh my God. I'd still be sitting on that couch.
What is there? 500 hours of shows?
Imagine.
It was, well, you guys, if you don't know, we're talking about this episode. What the heck is
Up
it called?
Flames.
Up in Flames, episode 13 of season 5. It aired November 30th, 1994, which is like, you know, a week ago.
I know, we're right on track, by the
literally,
way.
Literally, it's so we're cool. Like, I feel like right this on. Happens to no one. It so is, we might not be the first rewatch podcast, but
yeah, we're the first rewatch on the same date rewatch.
Wait, we're groundbreaking, Jen, but we've heard that before.
Once again.
And then
give
no one appreciates
synopsis.
It.
Yeah.
Synopsis. Emily Valentine makes a surprise visit and Brandon can't resist her advances. Dylan confesses his love for Kelly when she visits him in rehab. Valerie and Steve start getting frisky until fire spreads at the rave, leaving Kelly trapped downstairs praying for her life.
Directed so well by Gilbert M. Shelton and written by Meredith Stein.
Right from the start, I had concerns because I believe that you all were getting pine cones to put in the fireplace.
Who doesn't do that?
There was so many layers of like fibers being crossed and like just the
pine cones in a fireplace.
Pine cones in a fireplace are very flammable. They are beautiful.
They're so bad.
They burn fast. But there were so many like little foreshadowing moments and connective tissue, like little Easter eggs in this episode. I loved it all, like fire, like little fire things. And
but not in the way sometimes it's too 90210-esque on the nose.
Right.
It was seated and you appreciated them as a fan. Yeah. So maybe this episode in hindsight is better as a rewatch episode because you can go, God, there's the Easter.
Yeah.
It's coming.
I agree. I think you're so right. I mean, gosh, this episode really made me fully comprehend why we're doing this podcast, first of all.
Yes.
Because it made me really understand. As I was watching this, I was like, I had no idea that this was happening with Brandon and Emily while I was, because we read the scripts, right? When we were doing it in the 90s. We were filming the show. We read the scripts really quickly. We never had like a sit-down read-through with the whole cast. It was very like isolated. You read the script, you prep your lines, you go do your scenes. So it wasn't like we knew what was going on with any of the other actors really or with any of the other scenes. And you never saw it. So you basically went there, did your work and went home and kind of left it there, you know?
Let's be honest, we were young and we didn't read the other scenes that we weren't in. First of all, we were filming like 15 to 16 out. Like,
how pissed are you?
But we probably didn't even know Emily Valentine was in it when we went through the script. We're like, Kelly Donna.
I am beside myself.
Wait, Jen, do you remember? Sorry. When we, this will come later when we talk, that we actually went to read-throughs like in the late seasons, like in the last two. Do you remember that happened? It became a thing and we were all like,
oh, we went to that like empty room on the other stages.
Oh my God, remember? And I don't even know why it happened, but why did it happen? Did someone say, we need read-throughs or like everyone needs to be on the same page? And we're like, now? Like eight seasons in, now we're going to start like mandatory read-throughs once a week. And we're all like,
I don't think it lasted very long.
A few questions. Was Christine still dating Jason at this point? And do you think?
Yes.
Do you think you guys did know she was there? Because you don't really have any interaction with her, I don't think.
I mean, we must have known that that content was in the episode.
Yes, but even I did not remember this. We've said, like, does she come back? Does she come back? And you're like.
And you think we would remember it with that page boy haircut. I'm sorry, but that is a very memorable look she brought back from Paris.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that hairdo. I just didn't think it came at this point in the program, literally. I thought it was later. I didn't remember it now. Wait, did she come back again, Amy?
I don't think so. I think this is
Oh, no.
And how mad are we at Brandon?
I feel like I can't quite just jump to that right now. I feel like I need a little
bit. Not ready. She's not. Wait. No. In all fairness, yeah.
So how, like, about the fact that you answer the phone?
If we were in a therapy session, we wouldn't go right to that. If we were like, Kelly, like, whoa, you would like, wait, okay, let's be friends here and just like
first the ease first her in. OMG moment in the run of show was Emily freaking calls the Walsh house and Kelly answers.
Yep.
Of course that happens.
I mean,
that would happen in my personal life, like literally. Like anything that can't go wrong will. So yeah, but it's like,
and I was really just enjoying their togetherness. I think, swear to God, last episode, maybe a couple of, I was like, I really like Brandon and Kelly together. Yeah. He's so trustworthy. He's just a good guy. There's such a great energy between these two. And now this.
You're wearing the perfect crop sweater, black and brown.
Cute.
That outfit was everything.
Christy Brinkley gets a shout out.
I get a reference to Billy Joel and Christy Brinkley.
You know what? I don't know. I was starting to not like Brandon after the Dylan episodes. Not like him.
Interesting.
Like, no. Like him for Kelly. I felt like in the hospital, he made it like about him. Like, I don't know. I was starting to be like, I, as a fan this time watching, like, as no other connection, I kind of felt like, oh, Dylan and Kelly, I'm seeing that again. And that's starting to make me have flutters for them.
I wasn't feeling that until this episode.
Okay, fair. Mm-hmm.
I was not feeling that at all, because you know why? Because Kelly has morals. Newfound morals. But she'll
lose him again in a little bit. But yeah, okay, there's a Colin storyline. But yeah, morals.
But yeah.
Well, and how about the Brenda mention? So it's not Brenda.
Right.
And you know it's Emily Valentine immediately. The voice is very unique. And you're sort of like, oh boy.
I literally gasped so loud in my house. I scared the kids. Yeah. And I screamed.
Oh my God.
I screamed during this episode.
They must have freaked out. They're like, what? Is there dirt somewhere on the counter? What? clean.
I actually screamed at the TV in this episode, which I don't normally do.
How do you feel that he made plans with her? Start with that.
Well, what was he supposed to do on that phone call? Like, because he didn't know how to handle that.
Well, can we go backwards? So they have been keeping in touch since she's been in Paris?
No.
She clarifies that later. He clarifies that later and says, you never text or you never called. You never sent him a postcard in the snail mail.
Called. Like literally, like not one. Sorry,
She just ghosted him.
Okay, so.
But apparently, according to like what he was saying in that scene where we learned that, he was trying to stay in touch with her or hoping to or thinking that they would. And so was I as an audience. I was like, they said they love each other. He said he's going to wait for her. Then she goes off and does her thing. She's got to be coming back at some point. And here she is.
He's such the girl in this.
Oh, man.
That's what happens. You're like, womp, womp.
My next OMG moment was, this was the beginning of social media, you guys.
Yes.
This episode was the dawn of like...
Hell?
Chat boards.
Hell.
That's how they...
basically
that's how they
promote
the party. Yeah.
Yes, it was so fascinating to go back, look at, first of all, see that giant computer that they were working on with the like bing bing bing, you know, all that was me being the internet, thanks. But it was like I felt like that was so groundbreaking that the show was showing that, and like I don't know, it was just so interesting to me
doing their best.
Groundbreaking for then. Now when you watch it, it's like, oops, that dated us. Oops, there.
I was 90210 like, old. You guys, look at that giant computer. Look what they're doing. And like, my kids were so not interested in the advancements of technology while I tripped out on it for a while.
And David was getting it wrong, but Claire, sure, she's like, I think you're doing it wrong. She's
tech savvy before tech savvy was a thing.
Totally.
And he posted the information on the Women Seeking Women website.
Which was great. I was like,
ahead of its times too. Like, awesome.
First lesbian night to rave ever. I loved it.
That's why I said I sort of like thought maybe you could fall in love in the bathroom and the whole show could be better for it.
Right?
I wouldn't call that a rave, though. That's not what I...
lame-ass house party.
I don't know.
Man.
I've never been to a rave except on TV.
Turn the lights down, first of all. It's too bright in there.
My God.
And why does
Should I put
come
that
in?
On my bucket list, you guys? I've never been to a rave.
What too kind late? Of a rave are you seeking? No, never
Nothing.
Late.
Like, I've never been to one. Never thought I would. Would Burning Man count as a rave? Like, I've never been to any of this.
Have you been
stuff.
To Burning Man?
No, I've never been to anything. Oh, yeah. Jen knows. Like, I'm
don't
scared
feel like
of everything.
You would enjoy Burning
any
Man
of it? No.
Or a rave, honestly.
Nope. Have you been to Burning Man, Jenny?
I've never been to Burning Man. All of my Austin friends have tried to get me to Burning Man, and I've been like, mm-mm.
Do you think you'll go?
Wait, no. Should we go next year? Oh.
Oh, my God.
I'd rather
God,
go like, what if it's in the new me? RV out into the desert with my family and friends, not a bunch of crazy people tripping on things.
Have you been to Coachella?
Unfortunately, yes.
Me too, unfortunately.
Me neither. I have not. Wait, you guys, I've never been to anything.
Tori, we're taking you to the Rolling Stones. Don't worry.
I know. But I've been to that. Just saying.
Well, you're going again.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. Don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
Want to temporarily restore definition in your jawline where it's been lost over time? With Juvederm Volux XC, you can get a non-surgical jawline treatment that adds volume for a smooth contour and to reduce the appearance of jowls in one in-office treatment with little downtime. Juvederm Volux XC injectable gel is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
With the weather getting warmer, finally, it is time for a wardrobe refresh.
And when I want to update my style without breaking the bank, I turn to Quince.
They offer premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30.
And washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They partner directly with top factories, so Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
I use the hoop earrings I ordered from Quince all the time.
And basically live in the slippers that I ordered on their website. The prices and quality are so worth it.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/90210 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/90210 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/90210.
And here comes old sleazy McSleazer Val into the, she just sort of slinks in like a serpentine. And you're like, what is she? She's so, why is she so sleazy?
Because it's her role.
Yeah.
I mean,
we
why
need one.
They, it's so over the top and like so hardcore.
But well, it's now kind of good. Has, it's so nighttime soap. Like we need a little bit of that. Like otherwise we'd all just be like,
She wants Steve back now that she doesn't have Dylan.
She doesn't want Steve back. She just wants to manipulate him, and he's such an idiot.
Totally.
I think I screamed at the TV then when he started kissing her. The worst kisses, by the way. I'm sorry. No offense to either of these two people, but those kisses didn't do it for me. The Val and Steve, I don't feel like they have a connection.
A spark? Nah.
But that makes sense because she doesn't really love
Ellie
him.
And Steve really do, though.
They were going to sleep together if not for the fire.
Yeah, they came out all disheveled.
Half-dressed.
Half-dressed.
Hair a muss.
Bedhead.
I think they were already...
freshly effed hair.
Yeah.
Do you prefer her with Dylan or Steve, though?
Oh, my God.
If she has to be with somebody,
is
I'd rather...
Is this a question?
Steve.
Do I have to pick?
Oh, I'll pick. Go ahead.
You like her with Dylan.
Duh.
Ooh, you do?
I mean, as far as chemistry, yeah, that's a better...
Yeah, okay. Just for chemistry, neither of them are going to work out. So if I had to watch her with someone, sorry. Dylan.
Oh, I prefer Steve.
What?
Yes.
That's a miss. I'm looking forward to Claire.
He's a little bit perfect for her. Because he can be a little bit of a... You guys.
What? No.
Steve is kind of... Because they're like-minded, like entrepreneur slash hustlers.
Schemers?
Yeah.
But he's like a good-hearted schemer and she's a bad-hearted schemer.
That's right, Tori. That's right. He's a good-hearted schemer. Mm-hmm. She's a bad-hearted schemer.
Nah, it's still schemey. I don't want to see either of it. Sorry.
I don't know.
I'm glad we got her away from Dylan.
I'm glad she's away from Dylan. It opens up her
world. Who are we going to pick for her? Oh, God. She's taking my man next, isn't she?
Damn it. I can't wait. This is going to get so fun. Yeah?
Is that true, Amy?
I'm not saying a word. But
I do love all the couples, though. Like, I'm really loving like that there's you and your boyfriend and Claire and her boyfriend. I say Claire and her boyfriend, David and his girlfriend, however that works. And then I go for the roomie bond. And then Brandon and Kelly, it just seems so realistic, like that they're all hanging out together. And
I know I've said this. But that would be boring too long on TV.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, Tori. I know I've said this. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they made Ray go bad because he's literally a hero in this episode. He's saving everybody. He's running in the fire. I prefer that guy to the unhinged, abusive.
After seeing this episode, I don't know. We have to ask because I want to go on record now that I feel like they didn't know they were taking him in that direction.
Like
I feel
like they were like a sharp right
to make him a series regular, which they end up doing. Because he's only still a guest, a recurring, you know, at this point. I feel like they didn't know. Like, you never do that. They wanted to make him the hero.
It feels like they didn't know because we had the pumpkin incident, which was so odd. Like, the smashing of the pumpkin. And that was sort of foreshadowing what becomes.
I think it was a coincidence. Complete coincidence.
Maybe you're right because we have so many things.
Who can we ask? Just kidding.
Everybody, because this episode really establishes him as the hero. Also, the guitar totally just came out unscathed.
Of course.
But yeah, I prefer him. I don't know about you guys, but I prefer this Ray. The sort of
yes,
a little bit insecure Ray, the good guy, risking his life for everybody. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I watched him film that. I was turned on. No, not turned on. Stop. Blech. I mean, not that. I'm trying to save myself here. Wait, I watched that and I was like, oh my gosh, I would like this guy. Like, that's the guy. Like, what he's been in the last few episodes, it's kind of like boring. We were like, oh, he's just so soft and like, there's really not much there. So they knew this was coming, which is great.
Okay, so help me here.
Yeah.
The guy that
Casper?
That's the name.
Griffin.
Griffin. Okay. What's the character's name? Griffin?
Griffin. Yeah.
Okay. Griffin, you see his true colors and he slinks off. Is that the actor that we just interviewed?
Yes. Casper Van Dien.
Trying to connect my dots. They've gotten a little scattered lately.
Well, and Steve and Griffin are kind of going at it because Griffin got left off the flyer.
And then he slinks off into the night like a coward.
Dude.
Is this his last episode? Oh,
No.
Got it. I remember. Yep.
No.
Oh, my God.
Who said, I'm sick of your lip?
Steve. I think Steve said that. That's definitely a Steve line.
So iconic.
Wait, two things. The Santa Anas have been on the show before. This is their second or third appearance as basically a weather character.
It's late for the Santa Anas a little bit. End of
in November.
But mm-hmm. Okay, good shout out to the Santa Anas.
I loved when they did the Santa Ana references or episodes. I don't know. There's something about the wind that in those scenes with Brandon on the patio, on the balcony, mm-hmm. and then when Kelly comes out, the wind is like... Mm-hmm. Something like a catalyst for something's coming, something's brewing, you know?
It's also very LA and really kind of reestablishes like we're in LA.
And I felt for a second like we were really by
the beach. But you know, we're not in Kansas anymore and there's no tornado coming. We've had Glenda though. So
I felt like we were definitely like by the beach. I believed that balcony was real when I
knew
it wasn't.
I totally agree. Yeah, wait, the balcony's like not real? You didn't shoot that at the beach house?
No, that's on stage.
Oh my God, no
but
way.
You believe it?
Fully. And there's a lot of shows where they do that and the lighting's all off and it doesn't
wait,
look
like
real
our show. There's every week we're like, oh, that shot didn't
that
look real.
So real to
it
me.
Did.
And
it
I
always
fell
looked
for
good,
it.
Yeah. But those flashbacks in that scene with Brandon and Kelly on the patio. Those flashbacks.
See, I'm glad you brought that up, Jenny. I thought in this particular episode, flashbacks were utilized like perfectly.
Yeah.
Like they were just so seamless and like.
And that
really
they were black and
good.
White. There was something so perfect about that. And
this was like such a well done episode.
I have to think it had a lot to do with the director.
Mm-hmm.
Gil Shelton,
I did too.
We loved him. But it's just a lot of things that have not been done, in our opinion, correct before, were amiss, that's all. Mm-hmm. We're not amiss here.
No.
Did it surprise you it was a year ago that we were in San Francisco with them? It felt longer
feel like
to
it.
Me.
No.
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 Or did that
really.
Feel right?
No, you're.
That felt about
right. But those flashbacks were crazy. And then when Kelly went to see Dylan, at first I was like, wait, they're so physically comfortable and close to one another as when I feel like the last time we saw Kelly and Dylan, she was being kind of mean to him about his accident and there hadn't been any like repair work done there in their relationship. But now she's visiting him in rehab and they're arm in arm and they feel so close, you know? In that
you feel
walk
like
and
something
talk
was
scene.
Missing in between.
Yeah, I felt like there was a scene missing of them having that like
interesting.
Let's
I really
like
that scene.
I know. I was just happy to see it, but you're right.
Me too.
I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, I loved that scene so much, Luke. Oh, I can. That scene just felt so weirdly real to me,
that's
and
a,
like
yeah.
It was really hard to watch and also amazing to watch at the same time.
And for a viewer, just like a regular viewer like me, it just felt so authentically like Kelly and Dylan, mm-hmm. and that maybe they should be together, mm-hmm. especially after Brandon.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
I mean, in general, this episode across the board with every cast member, Christina Lise, Jason Priestley, every single person really pulled their weight as far as acting in this. I felt like it was so good and compelling just as a whole, everybody as a whole, making the whole thing work together. It was really, I was so proud of this episode for everybody.
Yeah, nothing takes you out of the episode. No. I was just fully immersed in 90210 world in this mm-hmm. episode.
And everyone stepped up, and it's just, I feel like, you know, 5 seasons in with young actors, you know, sometimes if it's not a script that's engaging, you kind of are phoning it in and stuff at this point. And I felt like every actor was completely mm-hmm. engaged with the storyline, the script, so they were just like all for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could feel it. What about when Valerie and Steve are kissing upstairs? I had to rewind it. Is that what you say anymore?
Uh-huh. It's still rewinding.
I had to rewind it and listen to him say, "Valerie, you're not wearing any underwear."
Oh my God. What? Like what?
So well, I'm like, wait, how does he? Oh, his hands are down there because you didn't see where his hands were. But at first I thought that he said, "Valerie, I'm not wearing any underwear." And I was like, wait, why would he say that?
Just so you know, when you funny hopefully story get down about there. That.
There's a funny story. Sorry.
I'll tell fresco.
You. Oh, what? My God. I had to sort of, I don't know, laugh at that. I just was like, oh, my God.
It was creepy. Cringy.
What guy says that?
Speaking of Steve, though, did you guys mm-hmm. think, so when Steve, Donna comes in the truck, which was very cute, by the way. Donna driving that truck is very cute. Steve was so flirty with Donna. Did you guys notice that in that scene?
Or did you just feel think it's flirty? Just like I felt friend. Yeah, big brothery. I felt that because I know their dynamic. So
yeah,
I didn't feel any weirdness there.
I sort of had a moment where I was like, why didn't we have these two together?
So what Jen's referring to is just very like on point for all of our friendships with him. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. He's like a big brother. Like, he's totally a brother to us, but not in a like he still makes you feel good about yourself and you're still beautiful and hot, but without being creepy at all. Yeah, like, there's no lines ever crossed or you never feel that at all. Mm-hmm. So it's still it's like a good feeling. Like, you know.
He's very charming.
I gotta say, after I drove this truck, I went and bought a vintage pickup truck.
Stop it.
True story.
Wait, no way.
And that's was on, cute. Well, it was different back then, but there used to be, oh my gosh, you guys, you'll know this. It was like a book or a magazine and you get it, like Truck Trader. No.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So in my trailer on location right after this, I was looking through it and talking with Transpo, our transportation department, be like, which one should I get? And talking to Jamie and like, got one.
Should have got the
one. Wait, what'd you do with a vintage pickup truck?
One time, absolutely nothing. Oh my God, it was turquoise. I don't think
I ever saw this truck.
Nope. 1956.
Oh my gosh.
Not Ford. It would have been
Chevy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
This is your story.
Bob's.
It's your truck.
This is so on brand. Not knowing car. Okay.
On the tree.
An H.
An H. Okay.
I had to do a stick shift.
Was it
charades, you guys, this is the Tory charades with someone that doesn't know cars. Yes. So they taught me that and they were like, but if you change, I was like, can I change it to automatic? They're like, that's going to decrease the value. Like, totally. You can't do that. So I was like, right. I'm cool. I got this. Didn't know how to drive a stick shift. So I'm like, I got this. Cool. Did it in a parking lot. Got it. I'm like, no problem. Anyway, drove it once with some friends to Gladstones.
Oh, my gosh.
Gladstones.
R.I.P. Gladstones. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, it's gone?
It's just shutting down this year.
It's going to be gone.
That makes
clam
me sad.
Chowder by the beach. The foil. They make ducks
those
to
drinks.
Take your food home.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Drove to Gladstones from, I lived on Wilshire, to Sunset. It's kind of the distance. We pretend it's like 2 minutes, like on the show, but it's really not. In that pickup truck, drove it home from Gladstones after dinner. It's at my garage. Never drove it again.
Yeah. No.
I looked at it all the time. God. I loved it.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Enter to win a free cruise for two on board the 90s cruise. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s cruise.
5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interaction, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more.
Hosted by MTV VJs Downtown Julie Brown and Matt Pinfield, plus Lisa Loeb.
Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas will be completely transformed to take you back in time for nonstop 90s action. The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com/iHeart to enter to win a free cruise for two.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Jenny, was one of your, or both of you guys, was one of the Easter eggs when they talk about Emily Valentine and they call her the Firestarter girl?
Yeah.
Totally. I was like, oh.
Yeah. The pine cones, the Firestarter line.
I feel like that was said on set, like, all the time, when a reference to Emily Valentine, like, behind the scenes.
Because wasn't that a Drew Barrymore movie out at that time, Firestarter? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was before
well,
this,
was
80s. Yeah, it was, like, in the
Look
80s.
Look at me with my horror films. Like, actually, that was 1980. No.
I think they've redone it since Firestarter.
Don't get me started.
So then we go to the party.
Yeah. Okay. In the mansion that was really just like a rando house.
Yeah.
Not a mansion.
It wasn't a mansion. I was kind of happy it wasn't a mansion because I felt like it was going to get trashed. Yeah. And I felt like it would be okay to trash that house.
I love that it was at Hancock Park because I feel like that was very timely at the time. Like, yeah, is starting to make like a resurgence Hancock Park, which if you don't know, like Hancock Park, technically, if you grew up in LA, was like the OG Beverly Hills, but then it took a turn.
I felt like it was having a comeback then. When I moved here in the 90s, all the rich people lived in Hancock Park.
All the rich people still live in Hancock Park, you guys.
No, but it literally, like when I was young, which was a long time ago, like Hancock Park was gone and then it came back when I was in my teens, like late teens.
Yeah, I feel like it's still back. Like,
oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But it was gone for a while. I don't want to go to
Hancock Park.
You don't want to go anywhere. What are you talking about?
I know. It's like, oh, I can't take a freeway there. I don't want to go there.
It's hard to get to.
But the houses are amazing and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Well, this wasn't one of those amazing, beautiful houses. This looked like, yeah, I don't know.
Except for the movie room.
Hancock Park.
Wait, the girls go to, first of all, this character, what's her name?
The character. Allison?
Allison's girlfriend is very jealous.
Yes.
And scares me quite a lot. But, and then they go down into that theater room. And I'm like, what? It's soundproof. No. Then they said it's completely soundproof. I was like,
so stressed.
This isn't going to go well.
I felt so claustrophobic when they went in there.
Why did they sit down and like have that moment in front of the theater?
I think if you went into the movie room and you don't know that there's going to be a giant fire, I might too.
Really? Just like hang out for a minute?
Maybe.
With somebody you don't know, cool. You literally just met in line.
I'm in a college party.
Look at me having no response because I'm like, you guys, movie rooms, like in houses, like they're soundproof. And I'm just sitting there like, it's totally normal because that's how I grew up.
But sometimes do they have I guess they wouldn't have windows.
No, oh gosh, it was in the basement.
I started to panic the minute you guys went in there.
Because
that was very.
Because I knew.
We knew things were coming off.
Although it was a lovely movie room, screening room.
Jodie Foster would have panicked too. It's like panic room. Okay.
Before we go to that, one important note is that Brandon, let's talk about him for a minute, tells Andrea he can't stop thinking about Emily.
I know.
And this is sort of the second time where he is really opening up to Andrea.
Right. But I feel like they kind of showed that because that was happening at the same time that Kelly was with Dylan. So they were trying to create a balance of like, these two characters are definitely both thinking about different things at the same time, but not telling each other that they're having these thoughts, you know?
Who else is he going to confide in? Honestly,
I just think
he has no one else, really.
Correct. It certainly doesn't have Dylan. I just thought that... you going to see Dylan felt not inappropriate, whereas the entire Emily thing felt inappropriate to me. Like, oh, what are you doing, dude?
And Kelly was just like, she was not happy about it, but she trusted him. And she chose in that moment to be like, because he was like, absolutely not. No way. Uh-uh. Lying through his teeth.
It had to happen. This had to happen, you guys.
It was gross. I was very, very mad at Brandon.
Logistically, I was a little confused by Emily's situation, though. So she's got a 4-hour layover to La Jolla? Like, no one flies to La Jolla. A 4-hour layover?
That was her final destination, La Jolla?
Well, or she said she could go to San Francisco, but it was just all BS. I guess she just never had a layover.
She was just coming to LA to see Brandon, see how it went.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean... She has issues in the past, so it would be on brand to lie about that.
I don't know. It just felt very weird that she just shows up. I don't know.
Jarring.
I'm more mad at him because she's just showing up, right? So she's just going back into the well, calling the ex now that she's back in America.
Yeah, she isn't.
She doesn't know anything. She's not really. She doesn't know. Now she's not. Being like, I'm friends with, you know, Kelly. We better not do this. She's
I thought that, you know, when he was straight with her in the peach pit and said, look, I have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kelly. And she says, oh, something mean about Kelly. I felt like it was over then. I felt like he did the right thing. He told her he has a girlfriend. He's going to take her back to the airport. Everything's going to be cool.
but no.
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 That would have been tidy.
I honestly keep replaying two things from this episode. Mm-hmm. One is the scene where Dylan says, most beautiful or not, I would have fallen in love with you either way, Kel. Other thing is, Brandon, I don't want to say goodbye, neither do I. That moment in the hallway, I can't stop seeing that moment of him deciding to go in for the kiss.
Can we please add the Lord's Prayer where I'm pretty sure that you're going to die? And I'm like, to keep watching. I'm like, oh my God.
That scene is so chills. Yeah.
Oh, so scary. Oh, so scary.
Wait, so the getting everyone out of the fire, you guys?
Yeah.
So I think I brought this up last week, but my memory of it is we were on the back lot of Universal, and they had this like fire thing rigged, and they were shooting, and literally like I wasn't even filming. I sat there and watched it because I was like, we had to be there. We pulled an all-nighter, but like I was like, this is cool. This is fascinating. Yeah. Like, and people would run through it, and they had safety people there, and like it.
That was a big deal. Big budget.
But it was like a small thing. Like it would be like one thing set up, like, and they would just like close in on it and like, okay, go through. And like it was hot.
Really
and
good.
I wonder if those background actors were just regular background actors or if they were special sort of stunt background actors because they were going to be in this sort of fight, fire, like it's more stunty. I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know why I care.
I feel like, yes, if I remember
seems like
correct.
They must have been high paid
yes.
background actors, if nothing
right, to
else.
Risk their lives. But they weren't really risking their lives. Like literally when you shoot something like that, they like Tori's saying, they make it look so believable. But in actuality, it's a bar of gas and with holes in it where the flames come up like exactly where they know they're gonna come up. I mean, still dangerous.
Yeah. Like a circus. But, like a circus and like you jump through the hoop.
Right, because things can go wrong. Like, for sure. I think about pyro in concerts all the time. And like once in a blue moon, there are like bad things that happen.
Look at Michael Johnson.
Very expensive this episode too, by the way.
Look at me and Benihana. I mean, bad things can go wrong.
Oh, yeah, safe places. I forgot about that.
It was very triggering.
That wasn't a fire.
That was a burn. Oh, so next episode, I'll be triggered. That. Nope. I mean, allegedly.
Yeah, it was very, the action.
There were so many moving parts too. There was LAX. There was the parking lot rooftop. There was a hotel corridor. These are all not familiar places to me as watching it. So I felt like there were so many new and exciting moving parts to this episode that it was impressive.
Right. And as Jen said earlier, like big budget. Like, this was a big one.
This had to be one of the most expensive episodes. I mean, think about this back to back with the Rolling Stones episode. Right. Like, there is some dough being spent.
We're picking
on
up
this
some
show
momentum.
Right now.
dollar bills, yo.
Money.
What about, did you guys, you talked before about how you thought that Ray was such a hero and how great it was to see him helping and saving everyone. I personally thought he was moving like a sloth.
What?
Like, when he was like going to get the blanket, he gets the blanket and he puts it in the punch bowl, which I'm sure is spiked with alcohol. Hello?
Oh my God, I didn't think of that.
And that's flammable. So I was like, no, don't put it in the punch bowl. But I feel like he could have moved a little faster. I got to be honest.
Oh my God. I'm going to defend my boyfriend on the show. I feel like they strategically had him move at a certain pace.
Probably, but I was like, no, go faster.
I was very proud of him. And also, there was a part, oh my God, I can't remember.
He looked so hot in this episode. Like, when he was saving people, I was just like, sorry.
I was like, I love this guy. Who breaks down, I think it's maybe Steve, but with a real good fake cry, is it when he realizes Kelly's still in the house and there's like he wails kind of, and I'm like, did I make it up?
Nope, you didn't make it up, Jen.
I saw it.
Wait, is there something Steve
Sanders?
No, he's
very worried about her.
Yeah.
I just love her reaction. I knew.
I was like, oh,
He gotcha. But
that's how you would react, I would think. I've never been in that position, but...
Now, which of us shed real tears? Me only? Because I actually really, really cried once you started the Lord's Prayer and you were in the bathroom.
I cried
and
I at
was
that.
Like, is she going to die?
You cried at that part?
I was just like, yes, because I'm getting chills right now. Yeah.
I was just scared and like riveted, but I didn't cry there. I cried before at the Dylan part, but not at this part.
Oh, you did.
Understandable.
I was bawling like, oh my God. It was just such good acting.
Yes.
I was because literally like, my jaw was down when the episode ended. I was like, what's happening? This is insane.
It was
insane.
Oh
my God.
And we hear the firefighter, so we know there's a chance.
Yeah.
I remember filming that scene too with Allison. You said her character's name was?
Yeah.
Sarah Melson. She was so awesome.
Good for her, right?
Yeah, she was so awesome. And because it was really hard to film that because we were on set, you know, and having to put ourselves in that situation when there was no imminent flight. It was right. Like a day earlier, a day later, who knows? But like that was a really difficult scene, I remember. And I remember just her and I just like, committing to it and just holding each other together. So I felt like us as actors doing that scene together was very similar as these two characters being stuck in this fire room but together. You know, we were like, there's only one way out and that's together.
Good for her because she's coming in. We've never met
right.
her.
It's
she's
such a hard like thing to come
never
into.
Been on this show. And I liked her. I like immediately was like,
she was great.
Oh my God,
and Jen,
okay.
I remember how much you loved working with her and the commitment that and the bond you guys actually formed over that, what you're talking about right now, just going for it. And it was beautiful. Yeah.
I think she's in the next episode, or I feel like she's in more.
She is. They both are. Yeah. Dana is back too. They both are in the next one. I think too, like, that could happen. Do you know what I mean? That's why I wasn't like, you could be at a party like that in college and go downstairs with someone you don't know and sort of be chitty chatting and like nothing, like I said, took me out. It all was very believable. And like that has happened. Like when I went to college, there was a fire like that. Yes. It's like, I will cry talking about it. There was a fire like that in a fraternity at Cal. Almost in this very same year, just a few years earlier. And it was totally real. And they probably as a result of this also and things that happened, they put sprinkler systems into almost all the sororities and fraternities at a lot of schools because this was really real.
May we ask, was the outcome okay or no?
People were killed.
Oh my God.
Maybe this was inspired by that.
I have like chills talking about it because I was in high school, but my high school is in the same town, just a little bit away, 10 minutes. And yeah, people from my town, three people were killed, a girl from my sorority, and two boys from the fraternity, if I remember correctly. I think it was two boys. I definitely was one. And they made a lot of changes as a result so that it was a fire that broke out in the middle of the night.
Wow.
So it was, I think everything about this episode was like.
The one thing that didn't work for me was that they were trapped in a bathroom and there was a fire coming for them. But why didn't they turn the water on in any capacity?
Oh, like, a very good
Why didn't
point.
They just turn the shower on and let it overflow? Why didn't they turn the sink on?
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Water, right? Would water keep the fire out a little bit?
Would it?
And I was trying so hard to see if there was a window in that bathroom. It looked like there maybe was like a tiny window, but maybe that was just like me. I don't know.
I mean, if there would have been a window, I'm sure they would have like been like, let's go.
I was so in it. I wasn't even, I was in the panic. Like,
yeah, I don't think there was a window, honestly.
There's no way out.
Wow. So many. It was a big OMG episode. Wow, wow, wow.
I wonder if I'm fire paranoid from this episode because I don't know about you guys, but every night I do that off thing with the stove, like every night, like full like crazy off.
Oh, now I'm going to stress out.
Am I the only one that has to check 12 times to make sure the curling iron's unplugged, or is that everybody?
Everybody.
Okay.
I'm not that good about it.
Oh my gosh. I leave the house sometimes and I'm like, oh, go back in, take a picture of the thing so I don't have to do it again.
But it's less for me. It's more for like the other two girls in my house that'll.
I know you have so many teenagers.
Oh, yeah. We have little space heaters in our house because I like the house to be cold. I don't like the heater on that strong. And so they have little space heaters in their rooms. And if they don't turn them off, I now take the space heaters away as like a punishment because I'm like, I'm not messing around with this. You can't like leave for school and leave your space heater on in your bathroom. It's very scary. Fire is scary. Oof.
Very. This episode was very real.
Oh my God. I thought you were just about to make like try to make it like light and be like, this episode was brought to you by. No.
Fire safety committee.
Duracell batteries for your smoke alarm. Make sure. I don't know. I do think, yeah. I mean, look, it was such a good episode.
Brilliant.
It was such a good episode.
Yeah. I'm glad that you guys didn't tell me what was going to happen. So thank you.
Shout out to the 55 t-shirt, though, that Claire had. So
that was cute.
Great fashion.
Yeah.
Lots of crops.
Cute.
Lots of crop tops. I could have been today. I just went I went the other night after Jingle Ball to In-N-Out in Westwood.
You saw some tummies? Like,
so many.
Wait, they were still open? We tried to get there. It was closed. You got to In-N-Out?
I made it in the Westwood one. Oh. Let me tell you, that line was out the door. Those kids love In-N-Out.
Oh, they do.
They do.
Someone, one of the like young people, that's how old we are that we call people young people. Mm-hmm. One of the young people with me was like, where is UCLA? And I'm like, you're in it. Like you're in it. This is it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, little kids.
Those youngsters.
Well, we have next week, we have episode 14 coming up, Injustice for All. Mm-hmm. And
It's very connected.
It's connected. And that's what's so great about this show now is that it's very serialized. Yeah. Like one episode leads you to the next one, leads you to the next one. And that's why I'm so sucked in. And that's why millions of people across the world were so sucked in because you want to know what's going to happen.
Oh, I'm hoping you're alive.
I'm hoping I'm alive too.
The only reason I know you're alive is because soon later you get to be a drug addict.
Jen,
oh God, I love
earmuffs.
No, I know that happens. I just don't know how it happens, what it looks like.
No, this is good. This is good.
I just say justice for Ray Pruitt. I feel like they went the wrong way with that, but we'll get to that later.
All right, everybody. Be careful.
Please. And your Christmas trees and your space heaters.
And your fuse boxes. Fuse boxes.
Maybe just get a fire. Make sure your fire thingy, what's that called? Extinguisher is.
Don't do that.
Up to code and ready to go. So you have a plan.
That's a good call.
Let's have a plan in place. Let's let this episode all teach us, remind us to have a plan in place for our fire hazards.
This is true.
Brought to you by the.
Oh wait, what do you guys give it?
Ten.
It's a total 10.
Oh my God.
It's the 10.
It's like Dancing with the Stars.
10. Oh my God. Ten, is this our first
ten,
perfect?
Ten, ten.
Perfect 10.
Fingers up. Fingers up. Woo.
Yeah.
Aww. All right, everybody.
I don't want it to end. I want to keep talking about this forever, but we'll just do more.
Okay,
We can do more next week.
Next week, yes.
Love you guys.
Have a good one.
Enter to win a free cruise for two on board the 90s cruise. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the first ever sailing.
5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s activities.
There'll be over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, and more.
The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com/iHeart to enter to win a free cruise for two.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.